It's wonderful to be healed, isn't it, Sharon? Yes, it is. It's wonderful for all of us. And to think, she only had 30 years of trying to get healed. So some of you that have been here before and have tried your best and you're not there yet, today we hope we get through with you everything you'll need so you can continue to stand. Now, we love it when you get healed like Sharon did. Sharon just barely got healed overnight. I mean, it was just an awesome thing. But we don't see a lot of people get healed like that. Most of them get healed slowly. It takes time. That's the way most, like Dave, for instance, up there, Dave took 20 months to get healed. Now, Sharon got healed overnight. Dave took 20 months. That doesn't sound fair, does it? But they're both healed. And you ask which one of them loves to be healed? They both still love to be healed. But God does things different ways for different people. So you just have to realize He's God. And if you do it His way, He will always forgive you and always heal you. But Dave learned a lot of things in his process. Sharon, she had to learn them over the next 5 or 6 or 7 years. And she's still learning them, just like we all are. We're learning what this faith is. But it says, but if you stay joined to me and my words remain in you, you may ask any request you like and it will be granted. Now then, if you have this kind of a promise in God's word, and you come down to the hospital, and the doctor just told you that your granddaughter, her brainstem is severed, and you can't live. Her eyes are jerked out of her brain. No doctor in the world can put them back. And, you know, every organ in her body is damaged, you know. So what does most people at this point, Christians, what do they agree with? The doctor. Yeah, we agree with the doctor because we don't know what God has prepared for us. So we walk out of the room crying. You go over and say, oh, my, let me tell you about my granddaughter. She's fixing to die.
You're right.
Is that the way we do it, girl?
That's
the way we do it. We go screaming and crying and saying, oh, the doctor just told me it's over. And if your agreement is with the doctor, then guess what's going to happen to your granddaughter? She's going to die. You're going to lose her because you did not stand on God's promises. But if you take this promise like this, just this one right here, if you say join to the king and my words remain in you, you may ask me, the king, anything you like and I'll do it for you. Now then, how big is your Jesus? Is your Jesus the one that created the universe? If your Jesus is the one that created the universe, did He make that little girl in the first place?
Yes, sir.
Do you think He can put everything back in there?
Yes.
Now then, you stand on His promises. You quote Him, His word. Lord, you said, now Lord, I've studied your word, I've memorized your word, I've hidden your word in my heart, and you said, Father, in Jesus' name, that I could stand on. So Father, in Jesus' name, first of all, I look down at what I can see here, and I see her little face is tore all to pieces. So, Father, I know how little girls are. When they grow up, they don't want scars on their face. So I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to take all them little cuts and lacerations and put skin back to skin where there will be no scabs. I don't want any scars on that beautiful little face. You said, did He say I could ask for anything?
Yeah.
Don't you think we ought to call the king in remembrance of His promises?
Yes.
I mean, don't just take anything. Oh, God, please just let her live. No. That's not what you want. You don't want her just to live. You don't want her to be a vegetable. You don't want her eyes to be blinded. You don't want her to not be able to breathe without a machine. You don't want her to have to be pushed around in a motorized wheelchair everywhere you go. That's not what you want. You don't want her just to live.
Right.
You have got a king that'll honor your faith. So if your faith is, Lord, put the little skin back together. I don't even want a single scar nowhere. I want that little face to be beautiful. I don't want a single red mark on that little face in the name of Jesus. Now, what did He say we could ask for?
Anything.
So don't you think it's time we start calling our king, the king of the universe, in remembrance of His wonderful promises? Sure. You call Him in remembrance of His promises. And then, Lord, I praise You and thank You for doing it. And then you start finding out all these other things. Lord, put the brainstem back together. Take those little skull that's crushed in 5 places. Put it all together and heal everything. Don't even leave a scratch or a mark or nothing. And Lord, put those little eyes back together. Repair every organ in her little body. Fix that right knee, Lord. Fix that left leg, everything. And Lord, I'll just trust you. I won't let a doctor do a single surgery on her. I will just trust you. Now, does this take some real kind of faith? And after a week later, while she's alive, and the doctor comes in and says, well, we didn't think she was going to live, but she may live now. We don't understand how, but she may live, so we need to go in there right now and put pins and screws in that right knee and put it back together. And you say, no. You're crazy. But you know, if she lives, she might be able to move if you let us do the surgery. What did Jesus say you could ask for?
Anything.
Now, who are you going to trust, him or the doctor? Does it take real faith to trust just Jesus? Ooh. I had a lady one time out in a nursing home, actually a retirement home, I'd rather call it. They were still pretty healthy people, but they were living in this retirement home, and they asked me to come preach out there one Saturday in Graham, Texas, so I went out there. And when I walked in, I asked the question to anybody, and only about a dozen people. I said, anybody in here got faith? This one Baptist woman, she said, I'm a Baptist and I got great faith. I said, praise God. That's good. I said, I'm a Baptist and I got a little faith. So anyway, by the time the day's over, we'll find out who has faith and who has not faith. Well, unhappily, by the time the day was over, the woman, the Baptist, said she had great faith. She said, I lost a grandson in Cook's Medical Center about 3 or 4 years ago. If I had have known what you've taught us today, he could be alive. But she said, when the doctors told us there was no hope, I just believed what the doctor said. And I thought, well, that's... We think we have faith until we get into God's Word. And then we realize we don't have faith. Wow. But anyway... But if you say, join to me and my words remain in you, you may ask any request you like and it will be granted. Now then, does it pay good dividends to be in the Word? Yeah. That's just like trying to be a rancher. If you've never had any experience raising bulls or cows or nothing else or farming, and they come and get you and say, I want you to be a farmer or a rancher, what kind of luck do you think that boy is going to make? You think he's going to make it?
No.
He needs to be raised up at home with a daddy that was a good rancher first, doesn't he?
Right.
And if he was raised up with a good daddy that knew ranching and he was out there with daddy from can till can all the time, then the boy may make it. You know, he can, and if he really wants to make it, he's got to put God first. Because you know, you can be the best rancher in the world, and if you don't put God first, you can still die young and broke. You know that? Yeah. Because God's the one that is the one that gives us the power to get wealth. He is the one that blesses us with health. He is sovereign. That's what I'm trying to say. He's in control. So you don't worry about nothing. You know, if... When your life is over, when God's through with you, he'll just take you out. You know, so no big deal. Serve him and love him and worship him until he's through with you. And then when he takes you out, let him take you out. You know, don't go into a panic and hysteria. You know, if you pass out at home or whatever, don't call 911 and go running down to the doctor's office. Trust God. Now, that tell you where your faith is, I'll tell you for sure. You will find out. But let's go back to Hebrews 11. What is faith? It is a confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. I mean, as I sat there with my granddaughter, when people would come in, I would say, she's going to run and play again. You know, people think, poor Thurman. He's lost it. But if you know your God, is that right, brother? If you really know your God and you're tuned into him, he made you that promise. Ask me for anything and I'll do it. But he said, don't you doubt. If you doubt, it won't work. You got to believe me with no doubt in your heart. And we're going to talk about a lot of these things today. God gave his approval to people in days of old because of their faith. Well, let's see what verse 3 and 4 says. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. One day, the Lord says, I'm going to build me an earth. Let there be. Oh, I hope it happens. I hope it happens. Do you think that's what he did? That sounds like us, doesn't it? Oh, I hope it happens. I remember one time, I was watching a preacher last night from Nashville, Tennessee. And, you know, they just had a big flood in Nashville. Y'all all know that just a few weeks ago. I mean, the whole place was underwater. Well, a few years ago, probably 15 or 20 years ago, when I was still working for the corporation I was working for, we had these big high lift trucks that we used on airports. And somebody stole one of our big 20-foot trucks. We lost it somewhere. It got stolen off one of the yards. And you know when you got hundreds of trucks, you know how hard it is to keep up with everything? Well, as we done an inventory one time, we noticed this brand new truck was gone. Now, we didn't even know how long it had been gone. So we put out a notice all over the country to the police department and everything for this red and stainless steel box high lift catering truck. Well, the police department from Nashville, Tennessee called us and said, we found the truck that meets the criteria of what you're talking about on a vacant lot here in Nashville. So I take a toolbox full of tools and jump in my car and I drive to Nashville, Tennessee. I find this lot. When I pull up there, there's our big truck. Praise the Lord. There it is. I've found it now. So I look, and of course, a few parts were missing on it. Number one thing that was missing was the ignition switch, the ignition key. The key was not there. Well, I thought, that's no problem. I'll just run down to the Ford house and tell them, I'll take the VIN number, and I'll tell them to cut me a key for that cylinder according to the VIN number. They can do that now. So I ran down there and I said, you know, I got this truck. This is a VIN number. I need a key. The guy went in and looked. He says, that's 1 year older than what we keep the records. I said, well, gee, I only have one alternative then, and that's to replace the whole ignition switch. I said, do you have one?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, His Divine Power Gives Us Everything We Need, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.